Good morning and welcome again to Words of Faith. We appreciate so much your tuning in to the broadcast today, and it's great to have you listening. It's an honor and a joy to be able to study with you, and we're looking today at the fascinating and very interesting topic of the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say about this? We're looking at Matthew's account to start with today because there are some things in Matthew's account that we need to keep in mind. Now remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. They all record this story. And the story is this. Jesus cast a demon out of a man. When he cast the demon out of that man, there were Pharisees that were there who were hard-hearted, and they said that Jesus was casting out this demon. He was performing this miracle by the power of Beelzebub. Now Beelzebub, in Jesus' time, was a title, it was a name for Satan himself. And so when this happened, Jesus began to defend himself and to show how ridiculous that charge was. And in Matthew's account, and it's only in Matthew's account that we find these words, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus said that he cast out devils by the Spirit of God. So here's what happened. Jesus cast the demon out of this man. He did that, he said, by the power of the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit was at work in Jesus' life. The Holy Spirit is actually the one that enabled Jesus to cast the demon out of this man. So what did the Pharisees do? They said that Jesus was actually casting out demons by the power of the devil. So they took the power of the Holy Spirit and attributed that power to Satan. They took the glory that belonged to the Holy Spirit and gave it to the devil himself. Now, Jesus said that is blasphemy. You see, these Pharisees did not directly say anything about the Holy Spirit. They did not mention the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God. But since it was the Holy Spirit who was doing this, indirectly, in a sense, they were speaking against the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit gave Jesus the power to do this. Now, that's very important to remember. So as you read Luke's account, as you read Mark's account, as you think about this whole question of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, remember Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 tells us how Jesus did this, that it was by the power of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So that's why Jesus called this blaspheming, that is speaking evil about the Holy Spirit. Now, there's something else in Matthew's account that is very, very important. It's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Now, listen very carefully. Jesus said, O generation of vipers, he's talking there, of course, to those Pharisees, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, what were they speaking? What had they just spoken, or what had they just said? They had just said that Jesus was working this miracle by the power of the devil. Jesus said, I'm doing it by the power of the Spirit of God, and whether you mention his name or not, you're actually blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Well, where did those words that they spoke, where did that blasphemy come from? Jesus said it comes from your heart. So if we're really going to examine this whole question of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to look underneath the words that they said, and we're going to have to look at the heart that produced those words. Because Jesus said when you speak from the heart. It's the heart that produces those words. So you look at the outward expression, this blasphemy that they spoke, and that's bad enough. But Jesus looked into their hearts. And remember in Matthew's account, he responded to their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. And he responded not just to what they said, but to what was in their heart. So mark it down. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, the Bible says Jesus did these miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in criticizing Jesus, they criticized the Holy Spirit. And also, Jesus said that when you do speak, and especially when you speak evil things, you're speaking from an evil heart. So you have to look at the condition of the people's heart here. You have to look at the state of their hardened soul in order to understand what blaspheming the Holy Spirit really is. Now, with that in mind, let's go over to Mark's account in Mark chapter 3. And here we find Mark giving even more details and more information about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now, Mark begins in Mark chapter 3, verse 22, and he tells the same story about Jesus casting out this demon and how that the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, said that he was doing that by the power of Beelzebub, that is, the devil himself. And so Jesus responds again, and he shows how ridiculous what they were saying actually was. Now, I want you to notice in particular, listen to this, in Mark chapter 3, verse 28 beginning. Jesus said to these hard-hearted scribes and Pharisees, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they may blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit." Now, Mark chapter 3, verse 30 then, gives the reason as to why Jesus said what he did about Holy Spirit blasphemy. Why, Lord Jesus, are you saying that these people will never be forgiven? Why is this such a serious thing? Why are you calling it blaspheming the Holy Spirit? Verse 30 of Mark chapter 3 answers, "Because they said he has an unclean spirit." In other words, he's doing it by the power of the devil. So when you look at Luke, and then you look at Matthew, and then you look at Mark, here's the picture. Jesus cast the demon out. They said that he was doing that miracle by the power of the devil. He was actually doing it by the power of the Holy Spirit. They were speaking from their heart here. Mark's account says that Jesus said these words because of what they said about him. Jesus said they were blaspheming the Holy Spirit because they said he has an unclean spirit. But where did those words come from? Where did those words originate? They came from the people's hearts. And so the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit here is something that was not just something that these people said, because there were people that said things against Jesus, against God, against the Holy Spirit. There were all kinds of evil things that people said then and say now. But this particular sin that he's talking about here is more of a state of their heart. It is the condition, as far as I can understand this, folks, this is a condition of heart where a person is so stubborn and his conscience is so seared and his heart is so hard that he has gone beyond the point of being able to repent. You know, that happens to people. There are people that get to the point where they are so hardened in their heart, their soul, their conscience is so calloused that they cannot repent. Does the Bible teach that? It absolutely does. Let me give you a few verses here from the Old Testament and the New Testament about this very point. When you go back to the Old Testament, for instance, and you look at the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 5, verse 3, the Bible says that their faces were harder than a rock. And he's talking, of course, about their soul. In chapter 6, verse 10, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken, they cannot listen. In Jeremiah 6, verse 15, the Bible says they were not able to blush because of their sins. In Jeremiah 7, verse 26, they hardened their neck, and they were characterized by a perpetual backsliding in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5. Now, here's another question that Jeremiah poses. Listen to this very carefully, because he says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots?" Well, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? No. Can a leopard change the fact that he is a spotted animal? No. He says, "Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil." You might as well expect an Ethiopian to change the color of his skin, or a leopard to change the fact that he is a spotted animal, a spotted creature, as to expect these people, these evil people of Judah, to change and to do good. Now, when you go to the New Testament, you find also that there are people who are hardened in their heart beyond the point of repentance. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, Paul said that there were some people that were so hardened by sin. And listen, folks, sin will do this. It will dull your conscience, and if you continue in it long enough and stubbornly enough, you won't have a conscience that works anymore. He said that there were people that were past feeling. Ephesians 4, verse 19. So, in other words, he's talking about a person who is so stubborn and so hardened in his heart that no matter what you talk to him about, if you talk to him about the love of Jesus shown and Jesus' death on the cross, it doesn't touch him. It doesn't affect him. If you talk to him about heaven, it doesn't move him. If you try to frighten him with what the Bible says about hell, he's not frightened at all because his conscience doesn't work anymore. Now, here's another verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, Paul talked about some people, and they were actually religious teachers, whose conscience was seared with a hot iron. So what happens when a hot piece of iron, or a hot iron, as he says, is taken to your skin? Well, you're not going to be able to feel anything. You're not going to be able to sense pain. And there are people whose consciences have gone so far, and they are so entrenched in sin that they can't feel pain. They cannot feel remorse. They cannot feel guilty. Well, if a man cannot feel guilty over his sins, then he's not going to want to turn. He is not going to have the will or the desire to turn away from his sins. In Romans chapter 1, verse 28, the Bible talks about some of these Gentiles who had a reprobate mind. That is literally a mind not standing the test, and here it denotes a worthless mind. Now, these are people that had gotten involved in idolatry and homosexuality and all kinds of sinful behavior. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, three times, in verse 24, verse 26, and 28, that God gave them up. In other words, they had gone beyond the point of no return, and that was not God's choice. That was their choice. So we don't want to make this out like that God doesn't want to save some people. There's some people that have persisted in sin so long that their conscience doesn't work anymore, and I believe that's what he's talking about here when he talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do tomorrow, Lord willing, is to delve into this a little bit deeper, and we're going to look at other New Testament passages that talk about people who have gone beyond the point of no return. Their heart is so hardened that they can't feel any guilt, they can't feel any godly sorrow, and so because of their own choice, they're unable to turn to God and turn away from their sins. Can a man reach that point? The Bible says that he can, and we're going to look at some of those passages tomorrow morning, Lord willing. I want to thank you for being with us today. This is not only a very interesting topic, but folks, it ought to be a very sobering topic to us, because the one thing that we don't want to do in this life is that when we hear the Word of God, we do not want to harden our hearts. Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart." So let's all be humble before the Word of God. Let's receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save our souls. And let's be ready to study some more on this tomorrow morning at this same time. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.